magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, April 10th, 2017. Woohoo! I am so pleased with the guest that I'm about to introduce to you in just a minute. He's been a dear friend, a part of the Singing Men of GNN for a number of years, I think about 8.5 years, and he's coming on his 70th birthday, I think. I'll introduce you in just a second, but I'm excited to share him with you all. In fact, on Saturday after our Singing Men concert at Lincoln Square, wow, what a great turnout and a fabulous time. But I was saying to myself, now, who am I going to have on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends? And I don't like going into the weekend or Sunday not knowing who I might have. But it was confirmed after I talked to this individual and thought, oh, he's got a good God-honoring story, an interesting faith journey. He's been a part of the Singing Men, as I mentioned, for about 8.5 years. And it's kind of like one of those individuals when he walks into a room and you can sense you have that kindred spirit. And so I'll introduce him in just a second. That's my little teaser. Stay with me for the next 20 or so minutes, but let me also point out tomorrow, Dave Krabiel and Sam Carroll, they're a part of ISI International Students, Inc., and I'm going to be hosting here at the Great News Radio Center. I should say the Great News Radio Center will be hosting a special meet and greet. It's a sit-down dinner. There'll be some testimonies about reaching international students, and both David and Sam, and I think at least one or two international students, will share on the effective ministry that International Students, Inc. is having here on the campuses of the University of Illinois. And their special dinner that they're going to be providing will be Thursday, April 20th, so just about 2 weeks away. It'll be here at the Great News Radio Center from 6:30 to 8:30, and I think the meal is going to be catered by the Olive Garden restaurant. And so there'll be some special treats, but tune in tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and you'll learn more, and I'll have those two in the studio to share some of their testimony and how God is using International Students, Inc. to reach students throughout parts of the world that are right here on the campuses of the University of Illinois. Well, this dear friend, his name is Norm DeGraff. Norm, I guess I've known you for about 8.5 years since the time you began singing with the Singing Men of GNN.
Right, in August of 2008.
Yeah, August. Now, the interesting thing, and I didn't know this till today, but he showed up in August to start singing with the Singing Men of GNN, but don't you know, we had our summer break, and so I guess there was no one at the church where you showed up, and you found out that we weren't meeting, and then you joined up shortly after that, I guess, when we reconnected. You live in the Fisher area, been married to Linda for 49 years. You attend the Bellflower United Methodist Church, which I think you were one of the reasons we sang there a couple times a few years ago, or we sang actually in the school, the Bellflower High School or grade school? What was that?
The community center or something? Yeah, it was a community center. It had been the school, but that consolidated with Blue Ridge quite a while ago.
Okay. You sang this past Saturday. What did you think of the crowd? I mean, we packed that food court.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great to see all the smiling faces out there and people really getting into our music. So yeah. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoy most of the time when we sing because God speaks to me in a special way when he does that. There were two or three times that, you know, I just felt the spirit inside me and had to stop singing for a second or two.
Yeah, there was that one song. Ken and Michael were doing the solo work. I guess it, when there's two of them, duet work. Yeah. And there was a couple people in the crowd that just started clapping and the hairs on my arm went up and I was like, wow, and I got choked up. It was an overpowering sense of, wow, the crowd, you could just sense connected with that song. And it was a beautiful time, and thank you God for WCIA Channel 3. They invited the Singing Men to sing, and before we got on stage, I said, now, we're supposed to go 2 to 2:30. Do we have to hold tightly to the 2:30 schedule? And the guy says, sing as long as you want, basically. I knew we had technically just before 3 o'clock. So at about 2:25, Pierre, who was not only playing the piano, but he was directing, Stephen McClary had other commitments. So Pierre did a phenomenal job, but he was kind of said, okay, let's skip to the second to last song, guys. And he didn't realize that we could sing longer. So I kind of stepped down and said, hey, we can go ahead and do this. So we were kind of flip-flopping our schedule, but I think we sang for another maybe 20 minutes. And then we closed out with Happy Birthday to anyone who had a birthday that week or soon, and then handed out many of those 300 roses to people in the crowd. So glorious time together. But it was because of what you've gone through these last, I guess, 6 or so months, you've learned some life lessons. You've had to lean into the Lord. It's an example that just because you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, everything doesn't always go smoothly and wonderfully. It all began, I guess, about a few years ago, and then the recent knee replacement and what happened and the trials and tribulations you had to go through, basically May through October, and you're still going through some. But before we get to that, share a little of that faith journey, because I think you grew up in a Christian Science home. So how did you come to know the Lord in a nutshell?
Well, it was really kind of a gradual thing. When I got into college, Linda, who's now my wife, we started going to the Christian Science Church and went for a while, and then she decided it wasn't for her. And truthfully, when I left the Christian Science Church, I thought that with the things that it teaches, then eventually I would be back there because of the important things that it does and the faith that it's built on. And I was very surprised to find out as I went through as a Methodist to find out that all those things are in the Bible, and they are really there, and then some too. It doesn't really downplay the importance of Jesus, but the fact that he died for our sins, it wasn't really ever apparent to me when I was growing up.
And even prior to college, were you in a home that went to church, or was there prayers before meals? Did you have a sense that there was a God or some sovereign power above you or that looked out for you? Was there any kind of like conversation where we can talk to this being, or any sense of God in your life in the formative years?
Well, Christian Science believes in the same God that we do. And where I grew up, we went to church very regularly. Okay. Mom and Dad went to church on Wednesday nights to the testimony meetings. And there was a great deal of faith in our home. So I had a basis for faith. It just, to me, it was going to take a little different road for a while. But then I found out how powerful that, let's call it, traditional Christianity is. And it has everything that Christian Science had to offer, but it was based on the love and power of Jesus Christ.
When did you actually fall in love and marry Linda?
Well, we started dating in 65.
65.
Actually, 66. It was in the second semester of our year there. I had been dating her best friend before that.
Sure.
Who we still keep in touch with. And just one thing led to another, and we decided that, you know, that we needed to get married. And we got married after our sophomore year in school. And she went to work at a bank, and I finished up school.
So then Linda wasn't so interested in attending that church. When did you start sensing more of a personal relationship that you could have with the Lord Jesus Christ?
And really, Linda, her family, too, is very devoted. They have spent some time as Presbyterian, some as Methodist. But, you know, she comes from a very deep faith also. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all the seeds were set for that. And actually, what I really remember, sitting down next to my bed one morning, and I was smoking at the time, and I was reading the book, The Cross and the Switchblade.
Mm. Nicky Cruz, or something? Was that the story of Nicky Cruz by David Wilkerson?
Okay. Yeah, Dave Wilkerson wrote it, and he eventually founded all the Teen Challenge Centers, which there was one here in the Twin Cities for a while, and I supported that. But I was sitting reading. I had been trying to quit smoking for a while, and I got to a place in that book where David Wilkerson was sitting down in his basement, and his dad was dying upstairs in the bedroom, and all the people from the church were gathered around praying for him and holding hands and, you know, the usual sort of thing. Well, he went down in the basement and just started pouring out his heart to the Lord. Well, what he didn't know was there he was right next to the furnace, and everything he said was being piped up to the upstairs room through the heating ducts, and everybody heard his pleas to God to heal his dad. And the bottom line is, his dad was healed against all odds. And when I got done reading that, I knew that God had healed me of smoking. And it was a long time, although I turned my back on that healing. I've been healed by God twice, and there's never going to be a third time, because there won't be a third time that I start smoking again. So that was probably the biggest the biggest experience like that that I've had in my life.
Yeah, where you started feeling like he answered prayer, that it could be personal. I don't know much about the Christian Science Church or the beliefs or the doctrine, but when did you find yourself, because I know you have such a passion for memorizing Scripture and reciting portions or chapters, not maybe quite books yet, but when did you find yourself falling in love with reading the Scriptures, bonding with the Scriptures, or knowing that, wow, these are God's inspired words? Or did you always feel like the Bible was fundamental or important?
No, I always felt that if God put it in the Bible, then it's true. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some places that, because of the context, you can know that it's an allegory. But I believe that everything the Bible said, God put there. It was inspired by God. Mm-hmm. And it's there for us to live our life better. Yeah. I mean, if you have a car, you don't just drive the car. If you want to know how all the gadgets and things work in it, and there are lots of them now,
right.
You have to read this, you know, like a dictionary of the stuff that you can do with your vehicle. So you take that and read it. Well, if you want to drive your life according to the way God intended it to be written, that you need to look to the Bible. And I would never do anything intentionally against what God is telling us how to live our lives in the Bible.
Right. Now, would you say these last 6 months you've found yourself leaning more into some of these things you've memorized or studied or read about? Because it's not been easy. And I mentioned already that when you come to Christ or follow Christ, it doesn't mean the roads are clearly paved with no bumps or derailments, that oftentimes there's hardship and pain and agony and ache.
Well, the thing you have to remember is the Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey. And you never finish that journey as long as you live. You're moving forward, learning different things about it. And for me, it was really, really beginning to trust in God with everything in my life. Not just the things that were convenient for me to trust in Him with, but everything.
You know, you're just about, I think, what, 69 and a half? You'll be 70 in when?
November.
70 November. I mean, that's a very mature stance. You don't come to Christ and then are that mature right away, generally speaking. I mean, there's that sanctification process. There's that periods of growth. How long ago did you come to the point where, Lord, everything? Because there's those Sunday Christians, you know, all week long they can party and do everything, and then they say, oh, shoot, I haven't given up the Lordship to Christ. You know, I see Him as my Savior, but not as my teacher. You know, I'm not a disciple, or I'm not faithfully following or praying to Him every day. When did that mindset of, okay, Lord, I need to learn to hand over everything to You? How long ago was that?
You know, I can't really tell for sure. Okay. Like I said, it's a process, and as you trust Him in little things, and you see His hand in your life, then you trust Him in greater and greater things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure at one point I really had impressed on me that the Bible really was His inerrant word of God. But once that becomes deeply ingrained to you, and like I said, it's a process. It doesn't all of a sudden happen.
Right.
Maybe for some people it does.
Yeah.
But if you're one of the people that you look back in your life and you say, well, I didn't have any lightning bolt experience. Yeah. That's not a problem. That's just the way that God works His process in people.
And even when you come to those points of decision or, Lord, I surrender, that doesn't mean that everything's perfect henceforth, or you never sin or fall short, or four steps forward, two steps backwards. But again, it's that trajectory where you're trying to make progress. Like they say, you live your life on an incline. And so you're either climbing and moving forward, or you're going backwards. There's no point where you can just kind of level off, because if you're on the incline, you're either going down or going up. So there's always, if you will, that struggle or that sanctification process to where, you know, we're always being refined and we're always learning, we're always growing. And that's what I've seen in you, and that's what I've appreciated about you. Many of the Singing Men nights when you've shared a testimony, or you come in, I got to share this passage with everyone. I got to share this verse. Does everyone know this part of Romans? Have you read this portion in James or whatever it is? And so these last 6 months, though, haven't been so easy. So have you found yourself leaning on some of those scriptures you've memorized, or has this just been a new season of learning where, oh, wow, Lord, I just thought a knee replacement was going to be kind of a simple thing?
Yeah, well, you know, it's all building blocks. You take one building block and you build on that. I had my knees both replaced at the same time on April 12th, and I kind of had to talk the doctor into doing it, and he agreed with me. He said, I know you'll do things the way that they're supposed to do them, and you'll do fine with it, and so he agreed to do it. He says he very rarely does. Well, it all works fine, except there are some things that nobody has any control over, and that's that old infection bug. So 3 weeks after I'd had my knees done, I was doing great. I got home from Chicago, and I just hurt all over. And I woke up the next morning, and I just had that ache like you have when you have a fever. And I knew things weren't right. I was hoping that it would be something that we could take care of with a few antibiotics and all, but it wasn't. Ended up back up the doctor's in Kankakee, because he's one of the Bears doctors, and my son worked with him for a while, and he said he's the best in the world. So he wanted to aspirate my knee. Well, I couldn't see what he took out of it, but his assistant was with him, and she wouldn't be much of a poker player, because as he drew the fluid out, she just kind of shuddered and turned her head away. So I knew it was bad news then. Yeah. That was on a Thursday, and Monday afternoon, actually, I was on the operating table. When you have a knee replacement and it gets infected, they have to take it out in 99% of the cases. So I was getting that prosthetic taken out, and what they do is they put in a spacer, because if they didn't, all the tissue would close around it, and there wouldn't be room to put a new knee in there when it was time to. And that spacer is actually cement, just like you use for mortar or whatever, except it doesn't have the stones in it. Wouldn't be room in your knee for that. Right. And there's some antibiotic beads that are in there. So that Monday, they did all that. And then after that, I have IVs for 6 weeks, up to 10 or sometimes close to 12 hours a day that I was on the IVs. In fact, one of the guys there at the rehab center called her my Polish girlfriend, because the IVs are on a pole.
Oh, a Polish, okay.
So let's back up just a minute. I told you that this story really started a couple of years before, mm-hmm. when God was beginning to convict me that I had sin in my heart that I was not dealing with. And I believe that the root of all sin, well, it could be the love of money, but there's something even below that, and that's selfishness. Mm-hmm. You think about the love of money being the root of all evil. Well, that's selfishness, because you feel like you should have that money. So many things really are based on selfishness. You can look at some other things, but it really, at the bottom line, most sin is because of selfishness.
Well, I think of the word sin, S-I-N. What's in the very middle? All about me.
Yeah, yep. You're right.
Go ahead.
So I started praying a couple scriptures that God had led me to. One was Psalm 51. I believe it was verses 10 to 12. One that actually I first learned when I was at school at Illinois Wesleyan, and chapel, we always closed it with a tune, this scripture set to a melody. It's, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't keep your Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And I prayed that on a regular basis. And another one that he gave to me was one that everybody knows. It's Psalm 19, verse 14, I believe. "May the words of my mouth, and more importantly, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And the way that relates to this operation that I had, this what I went through, was, you know, I kept praying this, and yeah, I felt good about that I was praying for it, but I wasn't really seeing any change in my life, that at least it wasn't easy to do and make any changes. And on April 12th, when I woke up in the hospital room after surgery, I knew that while the surgeon was working on my knees, God was working on my heart. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a new heart. Mm-hmm. Instead of that heart of stone, he gave me a heart of gold. Now, that doesn't mean I always operated on it now, because I'm still flesh and blood. But it's made things so different in my life. But it all started with those scriptures and putting them deep down within your soul and really believing and trusting in God that he will answer that scripture. Well, when I came up with the infection, that was really an answer to another prayer that I'd been praying for a couple of years or so. I really felt that I needed to be more bold in sharing my faith, mm-hmm. in telling people about how much God loved him. And I remember reading something in Reader's Digest about this lady that had the mission from God, I guess is the best way to call it, that if she saw someone on the street that she felt needed to be prayed for, she would go up to him and pray for him. She didn't know him at all, and I had a couple experiences like that, but I didn't have the courage, the boldness to actually do what God was leading me to do. Well, when I had the opportunity to have the treatment and be in this rehab center, nursing home, for a number of weeks, the first thing I did when I got there was ask God, what do you want me to do here? Whatever happens in your life, good, bad, indifferent, if you are trusting in God and you've given your life to him, it's what he wants in your life, and he will use it to bless you and strengthen you, mm-hmm. and make your life better for it, no matter what it may seem. Months in a nursing home does not seem like the best thing in the world, but I was so blessed with it. And it was the answer to that prayer, to have an opportunity to share with people the power of God, the love of God in your life. It was such a special time. I don't think I'd want to do it again right now, but I wouldn't trade it for all the tea in China.
Yeah, I think because you were in the hospital, a nursing home, assisted living. I mean, you were in a number of different, like the care facilities, this ordeal because of the infection. And then they got it cleaned up. And then you had more treatment and rehab and didn't some more infection in the other knee. I mean, this kind of went on and on these past 6 or so months. And you're still kind of in rehab. But some major life lessons learned.
Right. So May 16th, I had the knee taken out and 6 weeks of antibiotics. And then 3 weeks that you go without the antibiotics to make sure they've got all the infection taken care of. Well, my right knee was doing fine, the one that they had taken the prosthetic out for. I was scheduled for surgery on July 18th. Well, 5 days before that, 4 or 5 days before that, my left knee started showing signs of infection. And we decided, and I'm convinced that it was infected then. So fortunately, it was very soon, and I had surgery all scheduled. So on the 18th, instead of getting a new knee put in, instead, they did what they call a poly exchange on the left knee, where they just take the plastic pieces out, throw those away, clean it all up real good, and then put new plastic back in. So this time it was just 4.5 weeks, because it wasn't as bad, 4.5 weeks of IVs. They took me off the IVs. And with just a couple days, that knee started swelling up again. And one thing I learned, that no matter what happens, God is always in control. I love that song of Twyla Paris, God is in control. No matter what things look like, God is always in control. So that night I spent about, I don't know how long, 2, 3, 4 hours with my hand on my knee, just praying over it and telling God, you know, I've done this twice already. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to do it again, because with the poly exchange, I still had the use of that leg. I didn't have to have the knee taken out. If this was infected, they would have to take it out, and then both legs would be an immobilizer. I wouldn't be able to put any weight on them. I would be basically wheelchair-bound then for 6, 8, 9 weeks. I prayed and prayed. I said, God, I really don't want to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There's an old song from the 70s I have tried and tried to find music for, and that's the last words of it. Not my will, but thine be done. With these 7 simple words, the victory's won. Mm. And so through everything, I kept saying, God, if you want me to do that, I will have another round, and I will share your love just as I did before. Mm. And about 2 days later, it started going away. This time he answered the prayer the way I would like him to. Yeah. But it's not what I'd like. It's when you put yourself in God's hands, he will take charge. And the only thing that happens is what he knows is the best thing for you. And that's what I really learned. Mm-hmm. And I met some wonderful people. Little old lady, she turned 88 in August while I was there, and she was just a delightful lady. And her name was Mary Rose Rukavina, one of those Slavic countries over there was where she came from. And she had a delightful sense of humor. She told me her name, and what was your name again? And she said, Mary Rose, you know, Mary Rose sat on a tack. Mary Rose.
After sitting on the tack. Yeah.
So I remember that all along. She had such a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah.
And then about 3 weeks after I met her, her spirit started to go down. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it became apparent that she was close to her end. And I feel so honored and blessed that God used me for the next 3 or 4 weeks to hold hands with her and tell her how much he loved her and to pray with her. And she'd ask me, why doesn't God just take me now? Told her she had to take that up with him.
Yeah. And I know that many found you to be the encourager there at the rehab center and the assistant living facility. Well, Norm, so appreciate your time with us here in the Great News Radio Center and being a part of the Singing Men of GNN, and so appreciate just the lessons that you've learned that we can kind of apply into our own lives, and being mindful that as we surrender to Lord, we're not really giving up, but we're gaining because Amen. We're putting him in control, and then he's going to work through our situation or circumstance. So thank you for those reminders and those powerful words and your testimony and faithfully following him and desiring to stay on that sanctification walk, always learning, always being hungry, always being in the Word and trusting in him. So thanks for being part of today's edition, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for letting me share my story. When God gives you a story, you need to share it.
Amen. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Ah, wow, I hear all those listeners all over the area. Well, Norm's laid down the gauntlet, as they say. Walk faithfully with him today and see how he's going to work in and through you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.